Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is now February the 5th, 2016. Although I know that when this program will air on Red State Talk Radio, it will be a couple of days later, so bear with me on Red State. But this program is being produced, recorded, broadcast on Friday, February the 5th. And there's so much going on, and I'm so happy that you're able to join me. Those of you familiar with the program know that I'm a retired INS senior special agent, and my primary purpose is to alert as many of our fellow Americans and as many of our leaders as possible that our immigration laws are essential to the safety and well-being of our country and our citizens, and they're common sense laws, but that the mess that we are in so many different ways is directly attributable to the failures of the immigration system, failures that I would add have been engineered by politicians from both sides of the political aisle. But I have to tell you, the Obama administration literally and figuratively has blown the door off the hinges. Today we're going to talk about an amazing turn of events as divulged during a congressional hearing by no less an authority than the president of the union that represents the thousands of Border Patrol agents who stand watch on America's borders. You're going to be amazed. The National Council, National Border Patrol Council is the union, and their president did not mince words when he went before the House Immigration Subcommittee just a day ago. So we're going to look at what he had to say, Brandon Judd, that being the who he is. But let me start out by reminding all of you about a couple of websites I would very much like for you to check out. First of all, of course, my own personal website, michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R. Also, for many years, I've been writing for a wonderful organization headquartered in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara. And certainly this time of year, I certainly miss the climate out there. I've been there a number of times, made some good friends out there, delighted to work with Californians for Population Stabilization. Their website, capsweb.org, C-A-P-S. And in fact, I have an article that they just posted. Interesting concept. I hope you find it interesting. Because what I said for them was that orders of deportation are actually orders of protection for America, thinking about family members who get orders of protection because they're concerned about violent relatives. So think about that analogy. Think about what the administration has been doing. Think about the false allegations by the open borders anarchists, and believe me, they are anarchists. We are leaving ourselves defenseless across the board to placate special interest groups that purely and simply want to exploit foreign workers, unlimited numbers of foreign tourists, and bring in as many foreign students, so-called, as possible. And I say so-called because we have over 9,000 schools that are authorized to bring in foreign students. Some of these schools aren't schools at all. They are fraud. They don't exist. They exist on paper. But with so few agents working for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and their subdivision, Homeland Security Investigations, very often these mills, if you will, these fraud schemes, these scams, go on for years before they're detected and before action can be taken. And meanwhile, of course, the aliens are here and we have a problem. So in any event, capsweb.org, great organization. I'm one of many writers who write for them. They have been focusing on California, but the concerns of California are the concerns of America, they're kind of the canary in the mine shaft, you know. As California goes, so goes the rest of the country. They have been experiencing a huge influx of illegal aliens, a huge influx of gangs, and the sad thing is that by not making a clear distinction between immigrants and illegal aliens, which is the goal of the open borders anarchists and this administration and previous administrations, many people get the wrong notion that anybody who comes to this country from another country is probably here either illegally or a gang member. And that's not at all the case. So this goes back to that false narrative that if you want immigration law enforcement, you're anti-immigrant. Actually, if you want to enforce the immigration laws, you're not anti-anything, you're pro-enforcement. If anything, I could argue that the open borders anarchists are anti-American, anti-U.S. national security, anti-American working family, if we want to talk about being anti. So again, I write for Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org. Please go visit their website and check it regularly, because each and every day the postings change, the articles change, commentaries by a whole bunch of other writers, not just myself, are providing articles. It will really help to keep you up to speed. Another organization I'm thrilled to write for, David Horowitz Freedom Center, Front Page Magazine is their column. It's a great publication, great website. I am one of many columnists who write for Front Page Magazine. I also write for The Social Contract, and in fact, this month they published their winter edition. It's a quarterly magazine. The summer edition, I had the lead story. It was, I think, 27 pages long, looking back at 9/11, the 9/11 Commission, where we are 14 years after the attacks. And that should be reference material for our politicians, as should be the current winter edition of The Social Contract, because it's basically a handbook on immigration politics and the way that immigration is hammering America and Americans. And my article for The Social Contract is called Sanctuary Cities in Danger, National Security and Public Safety. As you can tell by that title, my focus for The Social Contract was on the insanity of sanctuary cities. But I have to tell you, we now have apparently a sanctuary country. And that's what I want to start out with today. And I want you to take notes, if you will. And what I really would love for you to do are two things. Number one, I would love for you to become part of my Bucket Brigade of Truth. How do you do it? It's simple. If you like this program, if you find the information that I provide to you to be worthwhile, interesting, aggravating perhaps, infuriating perhaps, share the information with as many people as you can. Give them the link. Let them go to Blog Talk Radio, Red State Talk Radio, both places. Listen to the programs. Try to absorb the information. And then go out there and make the elected representatives accountable. What they are doing is not only unsustainable, to use a favorite buzzword of the current administration, it undermines national security. It undermines public safety. It runs contrary to the findings and recommendations, not only of common sense, but of the 9/11 Commission. And I want you to think about something before I get into this hearing that was held yesterday before the Immigration and Border Security Subcommittee in the House of Representatives, a committee or subcommittee that I have gone before at least 8 or 9 times in the past. And I have to be honest, I'm tired of the hearings. We keep talking about the problems, keep on demonstrating that the problems get worse, and they hold the hearings, and nothing changes, and both political parties continue on, because I don't want anybody listening to this program to forget something essential. The Republicans funded every single thing that the Obama administration wants. They signed the omnibus bill. I call it the ominous bill. So for all the ranting and raving and thumping of the podium, they funded everything he is doing. How upset are they really? It's both sides of the aisle. And I think that's why this has become the year of the outsider in politics. Politics, as usual, is destroying America, costing Americans their lives and their livelihoods. And it's got to stop. Really, it has got to stop. And so therein lies the entire problem. We have no idea who's in the country. We keep admitting more and more people. And look at the damage being done, and look at the lies that keep getting told. Today, forgive me, I've got a frog in my throat. Today, the Labor Department once again got out there and cranked out the numbers. And let's remember, figures may not lie, but liars certainly can figure. And what was the latest statistic? Unemployment, hold on to your seat, folks, we're under 5%. 4.9%. Break out the champagne. Wow. Of course, we're ignoring tens of millions of Americans who are no longer part of the workforce, but they don't count. In fact, as a rule, Americans no longer count in their own country. That's what's happened. The Zika virus that's getting the headlines. The World Health Organization has declared a global emergency. And it's amazing. I want everyone out there to put on the thinking cap and think about this. This is a new virus. Epidemiologists around the world are scrambling to find out how serious it is. Can they come up with a vaccine? Some doctors say that they should be able to. Hopefully they will. They believe it's a relatively minor virus, their words, except if a pregnant woman happens to contract it, she may have a child with microcephalus, a small brain issue, which is devastating. This is a devastating birth defect. There are a few that are more devastating. Think about what we're talking about. A child with a deformed brain because of this virus. And immediately, the machinery cranked up, and what did they say? Oh, there's nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving. Everything is okay. This is borne by mosquitoes. You can't get it person to person. Don't worry about it. Okay. How do you know that nobody could transmit it person to person? But they rushed out there. We're telling you, you've got nothing to worry about. It's only mosquitoes. So all's right with the world. If it's not for mosquitoes, you're okay. A couple days later, there's a news report. Somebody in Houston, Texas, contracted the virus by sexual contact. I don't think this person had sex with a mosquito, okay? Let's stop being absurd. Goodness gracious, what kind of nonsense? The first words out of the mouths of the experts, mosquitoes only, and then 2 days later, we hear about some guy who contracted the virus by sexual contact. I mean... what is going on? Does anybody even have the integrity to tell the truth about deadly diseases? Now, maybe it's rare to contract it from another person. I don't know. But I am very concerned when there's such a rush to get that information out there, and days later it's proven wrong. And they're still insisting that this is a mosquito-borne disease, so don't worry about it. What about the person in Houston who got it through sexual contact? I don't think the guy had sex with a mosquito or the gal, whoever it was. And now we have another case of the Zika virus up here, I believe, in Westchester. And the news report was fascinating because they believe that the greatest number of cases centers on Brazil, but it's certainly somewhere in Central Latin America, South America. But the news report said that the officials will not divulge where this woman is from or where she had visited because we need to protect her privacy, and she's part of the immigrant community, and they don't want to upset the immigrant community. We're talking about somebody with a potentially deadly disease if it involves a pregnant woman. And we still don't know what the impact of this virus might be on adults either, or young children. We're flying blind, but you see, the open border anarchists don't want anyone to even begin to think that flooding people into our country who are not properly vetted, once again, there's that word, vetted, can cost Americans their lives. This is where we have gone. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to joke about the so-called news agencies of the old Soviet Union, Pravda and Izvestia. They've said the most outrageous things, and you kind of shrugged your shoulders and said, well, that's why we're Americans. I have to tell you, I think the Russian news media is probably far more honest than most of our so-called journalists in the United States today. Every time I hear these nonsense reports, 4.9% unemployment rate, Zika virus can only be transmitted by mosquitoes, except for the person that caught it having sex. What's going on? What in the world is really going on? What happened to truth? You know, they did a Superman movie not long ago, a couple of years ago, and everybody was upset because it no longer used that, quote, truth, justice in the American way. Truth has always been a core value for America. Good, bad, or ugly, the journalists could be counted on to dig out the truth and present it to you. Lots of luck today. I do have to commend one thing, though. Newsmax, One American News Network, has been doing a very good job of trying to get the truth out there. I appear regularly on both of those networks. This past week, I was on Fox News Business, to their credit, talking about how one of the three escapees in California was a Vietnamese criminal who should have been deported, couldn't be deported, so the administration cut him loose, even though under a Supreme Court decision, if an alien can't be returned for some reason to their home country, but they pose a specific threat, you can hold them indefinitely. Of course, the administration doesn't want to hold anybody indefinitely. So Fox News Business or Fox Business News had me on to talk about it. But if you want to talk about consistent reporting, Dennis Michael Lynch has been given a program over at Newsmax called DML, that's his initials, Unfiltered. I've taped several programs for him with Bill Tucker most recently. Those of you familiar with the old Lou Dobbs Tonight on CNN will remember that Bill Tucker was one of Lou's regular correspondents. I probably did over 100 appearances on Lou Dobbs Tonight at CNN, often sitting across from Bill Tucker. And in fact, we've become friends. So it was fun to be in front of TV cameras again with Bill Tucker, with Dennis Michael Lynch, and Dan Stein from FAIR also joined us. And we had this very same discussion about the Zika virus and about what the government is not doing to protect us. And so this is the perfect segue into more lunacy coming from this administration. The one promise this president has kept was the promise he made when he was first elected and said, change has come to America. The Border Patrol union president told Congress that the Border Patrol agents have been told that they are not to arrest illegal aliens entering the United States unless they basically catch them in the act. They're not to go up to people that they're suspicious of and try to find out who they are, where they're from, when they got here. And they're told that if they do somehow, for some reason, stray and encounter an illegal alien, they're supposed to ask the alien when he or she came to the United States. And, of course, people that run the border, terrorists, criminals, fugitives, whatever, no one would ever lie to somebody with a badge, right? So if the alien tells the Border Patrol agent, I've been here since January 2014 or earlier, as long as it's no later than January 2014, you are not going to believe what the outstanding instructions are for the Border Patrol. Guess what they do? Fasten your seatbelt. Take out your barf bag. Here we go, folks. This is tough to listen to. It's tough to say it to you. They are to take no action whatsoever. Don't arrest them. Don't process them. Don't track them. Don't fingerprint them. Don't photograph them. As long as they entered January 2014 or earlier and are not convicted of felonies. So I guess maybe they can fingerprint them. God only knows. Take the wrong action, I guarantee you, you're going to face losing your job or maybe your freedom. God knows. Maybe they'll try to prosecute somebody for civil rights violations. You can't make this up. And if I read it in some tabloid, I'd say, oh, this is baloney. This couldn't possibly be happening. As bad as the administration is, this goes way, way, way beyond the pale. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That was the statement made under oath by the president of the union that represents the Border Patrol. Imagine what that means. Anybody entering the United States gets apprehended, only has to tell the Border Patrol agents who spot them, I've been here for a couple of years, and they're on their own. That's like telling the police, do not use a radar detector. If you think somebody is speeding, pull them over, ask them how fast they were going, and if they tell you that they were driving within the speed limit, no matter what you may think, you may not do anything about it because they've told you how fast they were going. The honor system only works for honorable people. People who sneak into America are not honorable. Let's face reality. People who enter the United States without being inspected, which is what we are talking about, are people who are committing a crime. Although, here we go again, John Conyers has said, member of Congress, has made the statement that when families come across the border, they're not breaking the law if they evade the inspections process. If they claim political asylum, they're following the law. And what's the ground for political asylum? Well, if they're coming from countries where there's poverty, if they're coming from countries where there's violence, I'll tell you, most of the residents of Chicago would qualify for political asylum, don't you think? We have over 7 billion human beings inhabiting planet Earth. I would argue that at least half are living well below what anybody would reasonably consider to be the poverty line. By that standard constructed by Conyers, half the world should be able to move to the United States. We should be admitting 3 billion people, 3 billion people. So, I mean, you listen to the nonsense, you listen to the lies, the propaganda, and everyone says, oh, well, they're being politically correct. Let's end that nonsense also. This has nothing to do with political correctness, okay? Political correctness is using language that doesn't insult another human being, that doesn't impugn another person. That's fair. You see, the N-word is a classic example of a violation of political correctness. That's a word that should be wiped away from our vernacular. Any word of racism, of bigotry, these are words of hatred. That's what political correctness is about, to expunge that kind of language from the dialogue, because it's un-American. You know, I've told my children that they have my blessings, that they can dislike anybody they want. But it has to be about who that person is as an individual, not because of their race, not because of their religion, not because of their color or their ethnicity or the accent that they might have. We're all human beings. We all come into the world without any control over about being here or where we're coming or into what family or what race or what religion and so forth. So, you know, we have to make value judgments about fellow human beings based on those issues that they have control over. The person that continually starts fights or lies or steals things or whatever. These are people you don't have to like. You could say, fine, I dislike you. I'm not going to deal with you. But to say, well, this guy is black or this guy is the wrong religion, I don't buy that. People are people. We treat each other fairly. That's what political correctness, in my judgment, is about. This artful use of language, folks, is Orwellian. It's about changing perspectives by changing the language so that an honest discussion is no longer possible. This isn't done out of politeness. This is done out of guile. This is done by the con artists who want to deceive you and hoodwink you and trick you into believing something that is not true. Examples of this. Once we secure the Mexican border, we can then deal with all the people who are here, quote-unquote, undocumented. Really? It's estimated 40% of all illegal aliens in the United States did not run our borders, but came in through ports of entry and went missing in America. There was just a report out, and I wrote an article about this for Front Page Magazine. There's approximately 500,000 such aliens who go missing in America each and every year. Last year, there was a disturbing ABC News report how there were, and I don't have the article in front of me, but I believe it was 50,000 foreign students who went missing, 6,000 of whom came from countries that raised issues about terrorism and national security, missing in America. So this has nothing to do with the Mexican border. The 9/11 hijackers, the terrorists who carried out the attacks, did not run the Mexican border. Faisal Shahzad, the terrorist who set off the car bomb in Times Square, naturalized citizen, by the way, did not run the Mexican border. He came here at age 20 on a student visa from Pakistan, and Ray Kelly, at the time the New York City Police Commissioner back in 2010, described Faisal Shahzad as a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. Another lie. They use the term homegrown because, again, it takes immigration out of the equation. Out of the equation. Oh, nothing to see here, folks, right? The Zika virus is transmitted by mosquitoes, and Faisal Shahzad is homegrown. Right. And if you believe that, I have a fence to sell you. You see, these are the words being used by people manipulating the conversation to be deceptive, not politically correct, to be Orwellian, to swindle us out of our lives, out of our dreams, out of our potential for success in our own country. That's what we're dealing with. That's exactly what we are dealing with. So when you listen to the nonsense, you know, well, there's only 11 million. And then, of course, Sarah Saldana, the head of ICE, goes before a Senate hearing in December and says, well, you know, I think there might be 15 million illegals in the country, but I've returned $113 million that was given to me to deport illegal aliens, because even though we know there's probably 15 million, and by the way, folks, I think it's probably three or four times that number. That's another lie. She returned the money. Couldn't find any aliens worth deporting. Really? Look at all the gangs that are operating in America. Couldn't find anybody worth deporting. Another lie. When in 2013 we had sequestration of funding because of the budget crisis, the Obama administration said, look, we would be deporting all these criminals, but we can't because Congress took the money away from us, so we're turning them loose. We don't have the money. Now they have the money, and they returned the money because they didn't need it in the first place. Lie after lie. How come, by the way, how come the news media didn't put those two stories together? 2013, budget sequestration. We had to release all those criminals, people that have committed homicide, rape, violent assault. It's the Congress's fault. We wanted to hold on to them, but they took our money away. You couldn't prioritize, just like they tried to close down the World War II memorial. I mean, what an image that was. Fighting the American people to play politics, and then Obama, during his final, thank God, inaugural address, says, oh, politicians shouldn't be playing politics. This should be, you know, all about what's good for our country. There is nobody who's done a worse job in terms of playing politics, or a better job, depending on your perspective, than this president and this administration. Playing politics, turning criminal aliens loose. And by the way, let's dispel another myth. It's anti-immigrant. The most likely victim of the violence perpetrated by criminal aliens are the members of the same ethnic immigrant communities. And it's not just the Latino community. It's the Russian mob. It's Asian organized crime. It's the Jamaican drug posses. It's the mafia. It's Israeli organized crime. How do I know this? It's not a hunch. During my 30 years as an immigration agent, I've arrested some of all of the above. And that's who the victims were. The houses of prostitution frequented by illegal aliens were also staffed by illegal alien females, very often, who did not want to be there. They were tricked and then trapped into becoming prostitutes. Understand what we're talking about. This is a level of exploitation that is stunning. It is mind-boggling. It numbs the soul. But if you dare say we need to stop this, oh, you're anti-immigrant. You don't like people from other countries. You're a xenophobe. Or as Arlen Specter, the late Arlen Specter, accused me at a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, oh, these people are exophobes. Exophobes. And then he corrected himself. The accusations and the lies just keep on coming. I have sat at congressional hearings as a witness and talked about the nexus between immigration, national security, and terrorism, and had members of Congress get angry with me and say, oh, no, Mr. Cutler, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. We won't allow you to make that statement at this hearing. You won't allow me? What happened to my First Amendment? You won't allow me. I said, did you read the 9/11 Commission report? And then, I mean, you know, if looks could kill, I would have been vaporized. Why is it that immigration has nothing to do with terrorism when the 9/11 Commission was so crystal clear about the nexus between immigration and terrorism? And I'll tell you why. Because it goes contrary to the narrative. It goes against the narrative. So understand what that means. They can't allow this to happen. So they lie through their teeth and they just say, oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Now, does it? Of course it does. The 9/11 Commission was so clear on this. However, it went against the narrative. So what do you do when the truth confounds your efforts? You lie and you intimidate. And that's the game that's being played. So you see what happens when you can quote the 9/11 Commission report. And then you get people saying to you, oh, no, you know, that's not the case at all. So let me read something to you, and this comes from the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. These were the lawyers and federal agents, including FBI agents and immigration agents, who were assigned to work with the 9/11 Commission. And unlike the open border anarchists, I'm going to give you the citation. Look it up yourself. Well, go to my website, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract. It's all there. I provide the links so that people don't say, oh, you're just making a false accusation. I don't make false accusations. As an agent, my job was to gather the facts. Agents, investigators, are fact finders. So here's the facts. And as John Adams said, facts are indeed stubborn things. This is on page 54. And it's the section, it's section 3.2, terrorist travel tactics by plot. Although there is evidence that some land and sea border entries of terrorists without inspection occurred, that's what the others call undocumented. It's entry without inspection. It's called trespassing anywhere else, folks. Just had to clear that up. Although there is evidence that some land and sea border entries of terrorists without inspection occurred, these conspirators mainly subverted the legal entry system by entering at airports. I want you to think about Ted Cruz talking about, we're going to secure that Mexican border. I want you to think about Marco Rubio saying, when I'm president, we're going to hire 20,000 more Border Patrol agents. Yeah, we could use more Border Patrol agents, no argument. But did anybody yet say they're going to hire many more ICE agents to enforce the law from within the interior? Just want you to tuck that one away and think about it. Because if we had enough Border Patrol agents that they could hold hands around America, the terrorists still would have gotten in because they were landing at international airports and disappearing. The Border Patrol has nothing to do with that process whatsoever, period. The people that are supposed to deal with that are ICE agents. We have about 7,000 ICE agents for the United States right now, more than half of whom are doing customs work. And by the way, that 7,000 figure is 2 years old, because since 2013, the last time they published the statistic, the administration now claims that it's a security matter to not let the bad guys know how many agents there are. They published to the single individual precisely how many Border Patrol agents we have. They publish precisely how many inspectors we have at ports of entry. They publish precisely how many people work for the TSA, 45,000. Almost 60,000 people, by the way, working for CBP, Customs and Border Protection. But we can't tell you how many people work for ICE. You know why that is, folks? Because they don't want you to know. This is called the mushroom treatment. Keep the American people in the dark and feed them a lot of manure. That's what this is about. But let me go back to the staff report. Although there's evidence that some land and sea border entries of terrorists without inspection occurred, these conspirators mainly subverted the legal entry system by entering at airports. In so doing, they relied on a wide variety of fraudulent documents, on aliases, and on government corruption. Because terrorist operations were not suicide missions in the early to mid-1990s, once in the United States, terrorists and their supporters tried to get legal immigration status that would permit them to remain here primarily by committing serial or repeated immigration fraud, by claiming political asylum, and by marrying Americans. Many of these tactics would remain largely unchanged and undetected throughout the 1990s and up to the 9/11 attack. Well, we certainly know now, don't we? And what are we doing about it? Less than nothing. Now, here's the kicker. This is now the final paragraph of that little section. Thus, abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activity. I'm going to read that again to you. I want you to listen to this. You don't hear the word Border Patrol here, do you? Thus, abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activities. It would remain largely unknown since no agency of the United States government analyzed terrorist travel patterns until after 9/11. This lack of attention meant that critical opportunities to disrupt terrorist travel and therefore deadly terrorist operations were missed. And what are we hearing from Mr. Rubio? Oh, I'm going to hire more Border Patrol agents. And what did the 9/11 Commission say? Interior enforcement. What did Ted Cruz talk about? We're to secure the Mexican border. Folks, this is insanity. This is insanity. We are at war. We see the videos of ISIS beheading people, and the Republicans scream about the administration doing nothing, and they're right for screaming. We should all be screaming at the top of our lungs and maybe marching on Washington and demonstrating our anger. Peacefully, of course. Peacefully. But we've got to get our voices heard. The squeaky wheel does get the grease. But what's the solution coming from the Republicans?
Well, we can't deport 11 million, so we may as well give them all lawful status.
Wrong. Go back to what they said. The terrorists committed serial immigration fraud by lying. We are talking about so many aliens that would have to be given lawful status and official identity documents that there would be absolutely no in-person interviews, none, zero, nada, zip. There would be zero, none field investigations to find out if the people lied about their identities, when they got here, who they are, what country they're from, who they're affiliated with. No way of knowing. But we would give them legal status. And what was the chief embedding tactic of the terrorists? To get legal status in the United States. And the Republicans are standing there saying, well, if we can't deport them, we have to give them legal status. They are waving the white flag and ignoring completely the 9/11 Commission. So why did we have a 9/11 Commission? What in the world are we doing? Goodness gracious. This is a disaster waiting to happen. And it is happening. And it is. And we saw what happened in California with that K-1 visa, and that was the hot number for 3 days, and it went away. Just like the Kate Stiley murder by an alien who was on the street because the local police wouldn't honor a detainer, and it goes away. And the American people have a very short memory. I think the attention span of the average American is shorter than that of a goldfish. The news, and everybody's worked up, and 3 weeks later, it's gone. A week after that, ask somebody who Kate Steinle was. Ask them what a K-1 visa is. And they'll look at you with that same blank look that they will give you if you ask them who their congressman is and when was the last time they made a phone call to an elected representative to complain. Or at least to provide perspectives. Interior enforcement is the issue here. And I wrote an article that will be published in Front Page Magazine next week, where I detailed what real interior enforcement looks like. It's not just employer sanctions. It's not just E-Verify. It's more the lies being told by more of the politicians from both of the political parties, bought and paid for by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, by the American Immigration Lawyers Association, by the bankers, by Wall Street, by the schools. The list goes on. The list goes on, and Americans are dying, and Americans are losing their jobs, and Americans are losing their homes to foreclosure, and the economy is in the tank, and the beat goes on. And the beat goes on. And truth is very hard to come by because too many people are feeding at the trough. And they're paying the politicians to make sure that that trough keeps getting replenished. And what's in that trough? Illegal aliens, cheap labor, foreign students, work visas, and again, more of the same. And they're gobbling away at the trough. And the American middle class is going the way of the dinosaur. And Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and I do like Bernie. I think he's sincere. I think he's a true believer. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of his stuff, but I do respect somebody who really believes in what he's saying. Hillary believes in anything she needs to say as long as she gets elected, in my judgment. In my judgment. But when they can put together, we favor income equality, and that's why we need to pay $10.10 an hour. Can someone explain what $10.10 an hour minimum wage has to do with income equality when it's $21,000 a year? What does that mean? They have nothing to do with each other. But they put those two together, and everybody raves and chants and claps and jumps up and down. You would think they're all getting brand new Ferraris. It's insanity. Alan Greenspan was so clear about this. His idea of income equality means you flood the labor market at the high end, the high-tech workers, the highly skilled, as they're referred to in the immigration laws, with foreign workers, H-1B visas, mostly from India, by the way. And what happens then? Because they're now competing with foreign workers, Americans have to settle for much lower wages. We cut the wage premium, his way of describing the salary of our middle class, the wage premium. Think about that. Wage premium, middle-class Americans, God help us all. And he said if we could cut that wage premium, we could greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that if we could get rid of that wage being paid to the middle class, we could make them earn less money, there'd be a narrow gap in the earnings between the poor and the middle class. Basically, we destroy the middle class. And it's working. And then I want you to think of something, and I'm not an economist, and I don't even play one on TV. But for years we heard that the economy was in trouble because petroleum was so expensive. If only we were energy independent, the economy would take off. That's what's holding us back, high oil prices. And let's face it, we need petroleum to make the gasoline and the diesel fuel to drive the stuff that we manufacture to market, to move the food to market. We need the petroleum for the jet fuel, for the airplanes. We use petroleum to manufacture fertilizers and pharmaceuticals and plastics and synthetic fabric. Hell, we use petroleum for just about everything. Petroleum, literally and figuratively, greases the world's petroleum, becomes too expensive, the economy tanks. Okay, that was the theory. Sounds reasonable. Now petroleum is tanked. It's cheap. I filled up my car the other day. It was under $2 a gallon for regular. Amazing. When was the last time we saw that? Now what's the excuse for the economy? Oh, petroleum is so cheap. It's hurting the petroleum industry, and it's dragging everybody else down. Wait a minute. When petroleum is too expensive, it hurts the economy. Now that it's too cheap, it hurts the... What is this, Goldilocks? It's not just right. Do you know what's destroying the American economy? In this layman economist's judgment, you've taken money out of the pockets of the American consumer so they can't buy the garbage that you've been cranking out in China and other third world hellholes. So who's going to buy the crap? And if they can't make the purchases, the companies can't make a profit, and so their earnings suffer. And maybe they lay off some more people. That's what's happening. The wheels are coming off the wagon because of cheap labor, you see. And if you look at the remittances, Last year, more than $200 billion flowed from the United States to the Third World. India got the greatest amount, and their economy took off. They got over $70 billion, $70 billion. That's what's hurting the economy. That's what's hurting our national debt. And when we displace American workers and they're able to, they wind up going on welfare and making it or taking advantage of other safety net programs, what happens? What happens is they pull the economy down too. They go from being tax-paying consumers to people with no disposable income, and instead of putting money in through taxes, they're taking money out because of the benefit programs. And what's Obama's solution? To tell the Border Patrol, don't make arrests. If you find these people, they're coming in, just let them go. Now, what message does that send the world? If you can get to the border of the United States and cross that border, you are home free. It is the finish line. And I used that analogy when I testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee back in March of 2013, almost 3 years ago. And I said that the policies of this administration, in essence, had fired the starter's pistol for aspiring illegal aliens from around the world. And for these people, the finish line is the border of the United States of America. But do you think that when the next president, whoever that might be, stands there, if it's the Democrats and they're saying, oh, it's not enough to give illegal aliens lawful status, we've got to give them citizenship. And you've got the Republicans saying, oh, not citizenship, but lawful status. The only guy so far saying it, and I hope he would follow through if he's elected, but God knows what's going to happen with this wacky election coming up, is Trump, who talks about deporting people. Everybody else says, oh, we can't deport so many people. We're not going to round them up. Rubio said that. We can't round all these people up. You know, I've said it before. I don't want to be a broken record. But you have never heard any political leader on any level say that the numbers were too great for law enforcement to effectively deal with it. As bad as the immigration crisis is, and believe me, folks, this is a crisis. Make no mistake about it. As bad as the immigration crisis is, I assure you, we still have more motorists with cell phones than we have illegal aliens in the United States. But have you ever heard a mayor or a governor or a chief of police make the statement that because there are so many people who drive and have cell phones, we can't do anything about people who text? If they get a text, we just have to let them get away with it because we can't go after them all. Have you ever heard that? Of course not. They run public service announcements, PSAs as they're called in the trade, and they convince people, if you're behind the wheel and your fingers so much as touch that smartphone, a SWAT team is going to descend on your car, and at gunpoint, they're going to throw you to the ground and take your car and your money and everything else. You're in trouble. Same thing with drunk driving. We catch you drunk, you're behind the wheel, you're losing your car, you're losing your freedom, you're losing your license, you're losing your wallet. All going. Bye-bye. We're going to nail you. Nobody ever said we have too many people who drive and like to drink. But where immigration's concerned, well, what are we supposed to do? There's so many of these people, it's beyond our ability. We're waving the white flag. And what do you think is happening? People are heading for the United States, confident that once they get here, they will be welcomed by both political parties. And they will. And they will. Both parties are ecstatic over the destruction of the wage structure of the American workers, because people writing the campaign contributions want that to happen. Want that to happen. They want cheap labor. And they're getting it. Compliments of both parties. Carter started this Orwellian nonsense about not using the word illegal alien, ordered immigration agents to not make arrests during the census so they would be countered. So this became a matter of gerrymandering, something that the Supreme Court is now taking up. Reagan gave us the first amnesty, never hired agents for interior enforcement. So under the first amnesty, for the first time, and we all thought it was a great idea, an employer who knowingly hires an illegal alien can be punished, prosecuted, fined, and so forth, but we never got the agents. So the workload went up, you know, exponentially, but the workforce stayed the same. So that was a total disaster. And it's been every administration since. More excuses, more opportunities for what? Cheap labor to enter the United States. All these treaties and agreements, NAFTA, CAFTA. This is about the destruction of the wage structure, and you're seeing it around the world. Merkel actually had the chutzpah to tell German women it's their fault if they were raped and fondled. Shame on them. They look too pretty. They allow these people to get too close to them. This push for globalism is going to turn the entire world upside down, and not in a good way. And you have the Border Patrol now being told, what, stand down. The administration said that they're going to cut the funding by half for aerial surveillance. Cutting the funding for alias surveillance, for border surveillance by half using helicopters. I hope they're getting rid of the drones and not the manned helicopters, because the drones are worthless. But manned helicopters are vital. I was on the Dana Loesch program. We taped it yesterday. The Dana show over at the Blaze, and we were talking about the Border Patrol agent making the statements that he made about how futile the whole thing has become. And he said a couple of things that were very interesting. And I will tell you that they certainly, you know, resonated, because I've been there, I've experienced it, and I've said many of the same things. So it was interesting, because there was a quote from the Border Patrol agent, and said, this is the president of the Border Patrol Union. Immigration laws today appear to be mere suggestions. There are little or no consequences for breaking the laws, and the fact is well known in other countries. If government agencies like DHS or CBP are allowed to bypass Congress by legislation through policy, we may as well abolish our immigration laws altogether, Judd concluded. And I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine, and I said, why bother? Why bother spending $13.9 billion, with a B, billion dollars each and every year for Customs and Border Protection, for the inspectors and the Border Patrol agents and the support personnel and all those facilities? We have almost 60,000 employees working at CBP, Customs and Border Protection. And why? Why are we going through the charade of inspecting passengers who get off of airliners if no one looks for them, if they don't leave when they're supposed to, if they take jobs that they're not supposed to have? What's the point? It's an expensive charade that accomplishes nothing. And I've said it before, I will say it again, the only thing worse than no security is false security. The inspections program is false security. Excuse the administration has is what? So many people don't show up for their hearings, so we may as well not bother telling them they've got to go for hearings. I mean, this is the backward kind of reasoning that only applies in the wacky parallel universe of immigration. You would never hear it anywhere else. The Internal Revenue Service, every time April 15 approaches, goes out and locks up lots of people who appear to be decent members of the community. They'll lock up a member of the clergy. They'll lock up a school teacher. They'll lock up the guy that owns the local bake shop and charge them with income tax evasion. And why do they do it? Why do they do it? So that anybody that's thinking of fudging on the tax returns sees that visual of these people in handcuffs being dragged before a judge and being charged with a felony, and they say, you know what? I better not mess with the IRS. These aren't the people I want to mess with. A long time ago, about 3-4 years ago, I was on with Neil Cavuto, and we had this conversation. And I said to Neil, he said to me, when will you believe that our immigration laws are really being enforced? How will we know if we really reach the right level? And I thought about it, and it dawned on me, because it's something I had said to another reporter not long before that. And I said, you know, Neil, when an illegal alien, or any alien, is as apprehensive about receiving correspondence in the mail from immigration as the average American is when they receive correspondence from the Internal Revenue Service, then we will know that our immigration laws are serving the purpose for which they were intended, to create a deterrence against those who would violate those laws that are our first and last line of defense. And I think that's a reasonable statement. Today, we've made a mockery of the immigration laws. supposed to go through a port of entry, but don't worry about it. You're limited to 6 months, but if you overstay, no one's going to look for you. You're not supposed to work, but if you do work, nobody cares. And in fact, the only solution is to give you permission to work anyway. Could you imagine if they did that with people that violated the tax law? Well, gee whiz, it seems that you probably are having a problem paying your taxes. So if you don't pay your taxes, we'll send you a check because obviously you're in financial distress. How would that work out, folks? How would that work out? This is nuts. Imagine being stopped for speeding on the highway, and the police officer looks at you and says, you were going 80 miles an hour, and that car of yours looks like it can barely hold itself together. We're going to remedy this problem. Here's the keys to a new Ferrari, because that's perfectly safe at 80 miles an hour. How would that work out? These are absurdities. These are absurdities. And these absurdities are being created by the politicians who do not care about the average American. And Judd made another interesting point about how quickly the bad guys can adapt to the changing situation. He was talking about how the U.S. attorney in Texas would not prosecute anybody if they were caught with less than 500 pounds of marijuana. So the statement that Judd made was, guess how many seizures we've made for 480 pounds. Do you think that that's an accident? For us in law enforcement, and I spent 30 years of my life in law enforcement, to adjust the way we operate can take a year or more. The bad guys can change their way of operating in 3 minutes. We used to have high-paid, very competent criminal defense attorneys review case files of people who were successfully prosecuted, not the case files, but the court papers, on drug smugglers, for example, who were prosecuted successfully for drug trafficking. Guess why the lawyers were there? To figure out how the DEA or the FBI or the ATF or the local police put that narcotics investigation together and snagged the bad guy. So they could go back to the bad guys and say, okay, here's what they did. Here's what they did. And now the guy changes his MO, his modus operandi, so that he is not as likely to be caught because he's learned the lessons of the failures of the people who did get caught. What's going on? If you want to know how secure the border is, folks, just look at the price and availability of heroin and cocaine. Those substances are illegal, and we don't manufacture them here. And usually when demand goes up, the price goes up. Supply and demand, classic economics. The demand has never been higher. Watch those commercials. See how many commercials there are for laxatives for people suffering opioid use. Heroin is an opioid, by the way. How many commercials are there about people that are having problems because they're using opiates? Heroin. Of course, there's legitimate opiates also, painkillers, but that's how they get hooked, you know, oxycodone and so forth. And yet, with all that demand for heroin, the price has never been cheaper, and there's only one way that can happen. If the demand is met by an unlimited supply, and folks, today in America, there is absolutely an unlimited supply of heroin. And every gram that's here was smuggled into the United States. That's all you need to know about the state of supposed border security, and it's not just coming across the Mexican border. I hope this program has fired you up. I know it's not fun to contemplate how many problems we have, but the first step in problem solving is to identify the problem and then make the demands on those people who are elected to represent us. Please get out there. Please get involved. Please pass information about my program and the link to my podcast to as many folks as you can. And please get involved, folks, because remember, democracy is not a spectator sport. I'll be heading to Kansas on Monday, to Wichita. I expect to have some great meetings out there, public events. And then I'll be back next Friday, same time, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Look forward to seeing you then. Meanwhile, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay safe, and please, as I said, get involved.